what's up, everybody? Welcome back into another week. Trail Tidbits, VolQuest.com. I'm Eric Kane, alongside the recruiting insider of VolQuest.com, the guy that is Matt Ray. High school football is well on its way, heading on into week number three. Tennessee football heading into game number two this weekend in Charlotte. But first, before we get to Charlotte and everything that encompasses the Duke's Mayo Classic with NC State, let's talk about some 2025 kids. One commit we'll get into here in a moment, of course, that's George McIntyre. A defensive line commit for Florida and a running back commit for USC. Let's start with Joseph Mbacha. I'm going to double down. That's how you say his name, yeah, to my current knowledge. But he's a defensive line commit for the Florida Gators, 6'4", 280, defensive lineman out of Grayson High School in Georgia. Tennessee extended an offer to him here recently. Matt, what can you tell us about Tennessee's pursuit in this one?
Well, Eric, I think kind of much like everyone else in this one, for Tennessee, this is a young man that you've known about for a little bit. There's not a lot of kids that transfer into Grayson High School there with those types of measurables that you see that he has, you know, around 6'5", 280 pounds, and you don't hear about those types of guys. But the problem for a lot of these schools, he had never played football. He moved over here from Cameroon, and, you know, you hear about these things that he can do, what he's done in practice, but he's got 2 weeks of game tape, and it started to line up. Florida, you know, took a chance on him early, swung big, and got him into the class and got him to commit. But now that his senior season's going, things are really starting to snowball downhill for him. He's picking up offers. He's making plays on Friday night. He's picked up Alabama. He's picked up USC. He's picked up LSU. All these schools have jumped in of late, as has Tennessee. And this is a guy that you look at the potential and you realize the direction that this is heading, and you can't miss out. You have to get that offer in there and at least fill it out. I think Tennessee very happy with what they have along the defensive line, you know, for this class, right? But maybe could add another one depending on how the numbers shake out. And, you know, Mbacha is going to get to campus a lot of places this fall. He's already had some good conversation with Rodney Garner, from what he told me. Was originally penciled in to come into town September 14th for that Kent State game. We'll see about that. He's kind of gone back and forth with that. He released a visit schedule, still has that date as open. I lean toward him coming into town in October, you know, to check out Tennessee. He's going to take in a lot of schools this fall, though. You know, Texas, he'll be back. I believe he was just back to Florida for, you know, that ugly loss that they had to Miami. You know, so this is a young man that's recruitment's blowing up. And, you know, here we are. It seems like there's, you know, not as many of these as there used to be, but you still find one or two every cycle that, you know, somebody blows up, and Joseph Mbacha appears to be that guy. And I think he's at least got some early interest in Tennessee, but boy, does he have a lot to process.
Yeah, late riser, basketball player. Feels like Tennessee was kind of in on that much earlier with Jeremias Hurd, but kind of some similarities there a little bit. Obviously, Hurd's much bigger, but nonetheless, you know, Florida obviously doing a good job getting on the ground floor and getting him a part of that class. But as you pointed out, you know, Tennessee trying to play catch up and some others. Feels like, again, Tennessee likes, as you pointed out, their defensive line class. But this one, you know, briefly here would be just another cherry on top to a class that already has 24 commits. And, you know, when you're looking at how you want to finalize this class, and we'll get to running back here in a moment, but running back, a defensive lineman, and then maybe kind of a best available. And Batcher would be a guy that can kind of complete that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right on that, Eric. And, you know, I mean, again, this defensive line class, this class up front, I think is something to be very much excited about for Tennessee. I mean, Charles House, Ethan Utley, Marion Dye, Darion Smith, all guys that can go, all guys that Tennessee's evaluated a lot and think really highly of. So, again, you're right. Mbacha would be a guy that's a cherry on top type guy, you know, a guy with some twitch, a guy with some potential. You know, there's a lot of building blocks there, and, you know, that's the type. Some, you know, guys that Rodney Garner likes to get one of those in a cycle if he can.
So a name that has been thrown around a lot when looking at maybe trying to add another running back, trying to complete this class of 2025, DeJuan Morris, running back, Oakland, USC commit, about 5'10", 180. It's kind of been, I mean, I've heard you and Austin and, you know, Brent say a couple of times, like, until he gets on campus, it's not really real, right? You went to see him the other night. Unfortunately, he went down with an injury there early in the game. But what's the latest here with DeJuan Morris and obviously Tennessee's pursuit still swinging?
Yeah, so he went down with an injury there early in the game, dealing with an ankle injury from the sounds of it. And we'll see how long it takes him to get back from that. But Oakland rolled along. They went out to Texas and found a win on Friday night, a pretty big win there, and a little bit of a thriller out there in the Longhorn State. But, a guy that I think as you watch this film unfold here, he's really dynamic, got really good vision, gets north and south, but can make those cuts. Again, as Tennessee's completing this class, they have Justin Baker in the class. That's a guy that they like very much, that they've had in the class for a while now, dating back to last fall. And, Morris is a guy with a different skill set. So two backs that could complement each other. But committed to USC shortly after Darrell Sims got here. And, Tennessee's just continued to kind of pluck away at that one and continue to work at it. And we're going to try their best to get him out here, and we'll see. I still think Tennessee has a good shot to get DeJuan Morris to campus. But until that happens, again, Eric, it's, we're kind of in wait-and-see mode there. You managed to get down to Auburn at the end of the summer, but the way that their class is kind of taking shape, Usman Kroma potentially trending in that direction, that gives them multiple running back commitments in the class. How does DeJuan Morris feel about that? How does that change their pursuit of him if they land Kroma? We'll see where things go. But for Tennessee, I think this is about just continuing to work at it, continuing to get him to campus. You do have Justin Baker in the class that you feel good about, so you can just keep working and kind of play the long game here and hope that it pays off in the end.
Well, I like these drone shots here on this huddle film. I mean, the couple of different drone
fantastic
shots. Yeah, you don't see that a lot in the high school realm. We have a drone shot for Rivalry Thursday, and I think it's phenomenal. But back to Morris, obviously he's a guy that, is a name that's been mentioned. Justin Baker flirting a little bit there with North Carolina. There's been some talk out there, but obviously Darrell Sims trying to bring in another running back, and Morris could be that guy. In-state guy as well, but currently committed to USC, so we'll see how all that unfolds. Finally, let's hit on, before we get into a conversation you're going to have with a current Tennessee commit, let's talk about this one Tennessee commit. This is George McIntyre. Rough week one, responded the right way in week number two, and, Tennessee's it's their quarterback. They channeled it on early, obviously. He was a five-star a season ago. He's dropped to a four-star according to On3 rankings, but doesn't matter to Tennessee. Tennessee loves him an awful lot.
Yeah, and I mean, what a bounce back week for George McIntyre, right at 300 yards. I think as Brent said on the Rocky Top Rewind, a couple of touchdowns called back. That score could have looked vastly different on Friday night against rival Brentwood High School. I felt like it was a good sign that, Brentwood Academy came out and played to the strengths of George McIntyre more on Friday night, right? That's what you needed to see. Again, against CPA, you had guys dropping into coverage, them dropping 7-8 guys into coverage at a time in obvious passing situations, because you were in just that. You were in third and long, obvious passing situations. And, that's really tough for any quarterback. I don't care who you are. But I think for George mentally to be able to bounce back that way, it says something. At that high school level, you're coming off throwing a pick in the red zone down inside the 20 last week, with a chance to go tie that ball game up and have a chance to win it, in the closing seconds there. So that's tough, and I think that speaks a lot to who he is and the way that he handles himself, a film room junkie. Again, I think a guy that can make pretty much every throw that you want. I mean, you look at that throw right there that just played. I think that throw is one of the things that sets George apart. There's not a lot to that throw, Eric, but it's effortless. Mm-hmm. The defenders are not able to make a break on that. You're guaranteeing yourself some yards and a missed tackle, and you've got 10 to 12. So there's just some of those throws outside of the numbers that George McIntyre can make. Again, I think for him, Friday night was big. It was big for Brentwood Academy. They're going to have a lot of challenges this fall in protecting George McIntyre. They're going to have a lot of challenges this fall in not usually being the most talented team in that division. So playing to his strengths, giving him an opportunity to make plays and do those types of things is only going to help his senior season go right along.
Tennessee's going to be in Charlotte this weekend, taking on NC State in the Dukes Mayo Classic. We know historically how important North Carolina has been in the recruiting landscape for Tennessee. It seems like in the last couple of cycles, Tennessee's done very well in the state of North Carolina. It feels like, Matt, with Josh Heupel and his staff, they're once again prioritizing both Carolinas, but North Carolina here specifically.
Yeah, I mean, again, Eric, I wrote on this on Tuesday. Josh Heupel mentioned it earlier in the fall, just how important the state of North Carolina is. And when you look at it, you know, over his time here, you know, I highlighted the biggest recruiting wins in the state in his era. It starts with James Pierce, right? I mean, I know you have David Sanders committed. I know you have Faison Brandon committed. Both of those guys, consensus, their composite rankings much higher than what James Pierce was coming out of high school. But James Pierce, you know, the proof's in the pudding. You're talking about a guy that's a projected top 10 pick, has had, you know, discussion around being the number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft. So, again, I go with that as the biggest win to this point because the proof's in the pudding there with him. But a guy that, you know, that was that win for Tennessee. Georgia was involved there late. There were all these schools that tried to get James Pierce to campus. And then it really felt like at that time James Pierce might push things into the late signing period. He didn't. Tennessee got it across the finish line. Who knows which direction that goes if you don't get that across the finish line in that early signing period. So that was a huge win for Tennessee, a statement win on the defensive side of football, and it became even more of a statement win once Charles Power at 0-3 ranked him as a five-star, obviously. And then, you know, David Sanders and Faison Brandon, we've rehashed those recruitments in the last 3 months so much that it feels like probably everybody knows how big that those were for the Vols. But you beat out Alabama, you beat out LSU, you beat out Florida State, you beat out several others for Faison. Just a class after securing George, who we talked about. So, you know, that is a statement in and of itself. And then for David Sanders, it feels like, you know, for Tennessee, Glenn Ellerbe had the Vols involved in multiple big-time recruitments for five-star offensive linemen or really highly rated four-star offensive linemen, and they finished runner-up multiple times. You know, Francis Maungoa, Lucas Simmons, those types of guys. Tennessee couldn't find that guy. Jordan Seaton last cycle, right? It felt like Tennessee had pushed things right to where they needed to be, and then, you know, he kind of stuns everybody and picks Colorado out of left field. Tennessee gets it done with David Sanders, and it's huge because out of those guys I mentioned, David Sanders has the most potential in my opinion and in the industry opinion, I believe, for the most part. So, you know, a guy that can be the cornerstone at tackle for years to come. And then, you know, two other pieces that I highlighted were Nathan Leacock, who made his first catch as a Vol this weekend. Things got off to a little bit of a slower start for him, but you know, he's starting to, you know, wheels are starting to turn. He's trying to work his way into the rotation and make some sort of impact. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, he's at least you're starting to see the wheels get in motion a little bit more there. And then Charles House, I think, sometimes is a forgotten guy in this, you know, 2025 class and is a forgotten recruiting win for Tennessee. I mean, he went, you know, on the On3 YouTube channel and chose Tennessee over Alabama and Georgia. If you're a defensive lineman and you're picking between Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia, I mean, you can pretty much go anywhere you want. And Charles House had the option to do that, and that was a big recruiting win for Tennessee and something that paid off because of their persistency in the state of North Carolina and the fact that they prioritized him for so long. So the state of North Carolina is huge for Josh Heupel and company, and it's only going to get bigger. You've got guys in the Charlotte area in 2026, Samari Matthews, Rodney Dunham and Brody Keefe at Myers Park, Leo Delaney at Providence Day, Kendre Harrison at Providence Day. Those are guys that Tennessee's all in that top tier of schools for right now. And those are all guys that are inside the top 50, top 100 of the On3 rankings, you know, or highly rated four-star guys for the most part. You know, Brody may be a little further back, but Tennessee has really, you know, valued him over time. Rodney Dunham is an edge that Tennessee is able to go look at and say, hey, look, you know, look at what we did with the last kid that we got from Charlotte and James Pierce, you know. So I think all of those things, having those recruiting ties into North Carolina and then now having a chance to go over there and put some of that on display this weekend is huge for Tennessee.
Yeah, and the name that I don't think you mentioned, if you did, apologies, but it's a homecoming for him this weekend. It was another big recruiting win, five-star, kind of a, you know, in the fall months. Yeah, David Hobson. I mean, I remember going over there in the Charlotte area and helping hold the camera. It was a windy day. I think I was actually holding the tripod there for his commitment video, me and Grant Ramey. But, yeah, I mean, just another example. So, obviously, a point of emphasis on the Charlotte area, but, you know, the state of North Carolina with a lot of those names that you mentioned. Good to see James Pierce go home this weekend. He's kind of my pick the click that's going to, you know, come out in a big way, only play 10 snaps and play any of the second half in week one. Again, it's just going to be – go ahead.
I think James Pierce is ready to, like you said, click this weekend. If you were down on the field in the fourth quarter, Tennessee
not a happy camper,
up,
was he?
Not a happy camper about not getting to play, but also very vocal in terms of leadership from the sidelines, cheering on the younger guys, encouraging the younger guys, offensive and defensive side of football. To me, that's a huge step for James Pierce because you're just talking about a guy that's just – has been quiet and laid back, somewhat reserved, and now that vocal side of him's coming out, you're kind of starting to see everything click for him, and I think he's ready to get after the quarterback on Saturday night.
Yeah, kind of like a complete 180 from when he got here in terms of all that stuff. Yep. Hey, to conclude this week's episode of Trail Tidbits, Matt Ray stops in and checks out another Tennessee current commit, defensive lineman, not from North Carolina, from the mid-state here in Tennessee. His name is Ethan Utley. Here's Matt's conversation with Tennessee's four-star.
Senior season's already underway, and you guys are off to an 2-0 start, and you avenged a playoff loss from last year. Take me through the start to this senior season. What's it been like? What's the excitement level been like to be back out there?
Oh, it's going great. You know, just like we have a completely new staff, some returning coaches and some positioning groups, but under this new staff, you know, like we were expected to have a very high success season. And so being able to start the season off 2-0 after having some slow scrimmages, you know, just trying to get like a feel of where guys will fit in offense and get an understanding of like the playbook more. Being able to start the season off 2-0 and then, like you said, avenge a close playoff game that we lost at the end of my junior year last year. It was big, you know, especially for that being a rival. But like we've been preaching all week, like that wasn't the end goal. Like, yes, it felt good to be able to get out there and go to their place and beat them just like they beat us on our field last year. Being able to get out there and be able to beat those guys pretty bad. You know, we won 35-14, which some may consider that not close. We didn't think it was close. So being able to get out there and dominate those guys who are considered a rival says a lot about the direction we're headed in, especially this year. Just the speed that we're playing with and the intelligence we have within our own playbook and being able to do anything with a lot of different guys. And so I actually was out there playing a little tight end last week, just being able to get out there against smaller outside linebackers and be able to run with those guys in space and block those guys and get them out the way. So that was big. And looking forward to keep going, you know, just like leading my team in the right way. We got some good guys around me. Our defense is good per usual, but the offense has picked it up big time this year, and it shows on the field. And being able to score 35 points at an away game, the second game of the season versus an in-division opponent, like that says a lot about who we are this year and what Enzo are standing for.
When you and I walked out of, you know, CPA a couple of weekends ago, we walked to the parking lot, a pretty good long walk, talked about a lot of different things, but talked about this season at Ensworth for you. And like I said, ended last year in a quarterfinal loss, 17-14 to NBA. You've already avenged that. Is it the offensive explosion that's kind of different about this team? What makes this team special to where you can get past the quarterfinals and contend for that state championship this year?
Really just what makes this team different is being able to dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, we've been able to run the ball against people and nobody can stop it. Like in our league, like if you can run the football, then you won't be stopped. And so being able to just pound the rock. Like if you look back at our NBA scrimmage, you could watch more of the game probably somewhere on the internet. But that fourth quarter, actually end of the third quarter, we had the ball at a minute left. It was 28-14. We fumbled. One of our guys fumbled, but we really weren't concerned. Like we were calm. We didn't let it rattle us at all. And we had the ball the last minute of the third quarter. And then the first 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, we ran the ball. You know, we ran the ball and we ran the ball. We rotated three running backs throughout the whole drive and just kept pounding the rock. And, you know, being able to control the line of scrimmage like that, like at any level, you can win a football game, especially game management, the knowledge that we have with Ben Jones, who was a former Titan center, Matt Hasselbeck, Tim Hasselbeck, Grant Williams, who was a Super Bowl champion. Just like having that amount of knowledge on one staff and knowing what to do in what situations really elevated our game. So being able to hold off a what some NBA fans might have thought was a comeback. We really weren't worried, but being able to hold them off at their own place and win 35-14 was big. And I would just say, like, us controlling the line of scrimmage and knowing both sides of the ball, like, obviously I'm on the D-line, but the guys next to me, like, I give them more props than anything. Like, this year I've caught more consistent double teams than I ever have, like, and it's pretty bleeding, but, I mean, I'm not one to complain. Like, I expected nothing less. I got them. I've been getting them as long as I've been playing high school football, so – just being able to trust the guys around me to make plays when I'm taking on 2 to 3 guys every play is also played a major factor. And then just the trust that we have, especially a heavy senior team, both our boxes on both sides of the ball are heavy senior led. So being able to have that leadership and dominance and that strength and speed and experience across both sides of the ball is just like something I don't see anybody stopping.
So for you, I mean, obviously the high school season is well underway. Tennessee gets underway this past Saturday in blowout fashion over UTC. And again, you look at it, you see, you know, on paper, Tennessee beat UTC. They handle business the way they should. You're a student of the game. I know you're paying attention. I know you're watching multiple things. So just give me your takeaway, you know, from Tennessee's season opener against UTC.
Those guys are flying. Like, like some people like say, like, yeah, like defense wins ball games, this, that, and the other. And like, those guys at all aspects of the game are flying around. Like, I mean, just like you're showing, like, Dante, like, he exploded. Like, being able to have a guy like that who's not even, like, the number one target when you're watching a game where Squirrel and Brew are barely, like they're getting, like, short little hitches and stuff like that. But having a guy explode for over 100 yards and then Nico in his second start, I would say, yeah, his second start, explode for – what was it, 300 plus and a half, 3 touchdowns? Like, that's
full crazy passing record for a half.
Like, and like you said, it's UT chat, but like, even like with us, like at Innsbruck, we're going through the same thing. Like, some, like, 1 week we'll be looking at a NBA, and then this week we're playing Osceola, who's not as physically gifted as an NBA, but like, still, like, I feel like the preparation and how you attack every moment of the game is what makes a good team a good team. Like, when you have the teams that look at an opponent and put that opponent on a lower pedestal because you know you're better than them and your mindset is different about it and you're not in the dominate them mindset, like, I feel like that's when you can slip up and not perform like how you should. But Tennessee not holding back and all executing at all levels show what they could do to anybody personally. And well, my D-line coach actually at Innsbruck, he's an NC State alum. He me and him have been chirping a little bit this week. I've been telling him we're going to blow him out, and I feel like we really are. And then that D-line was crazy. Like, I think I saw something. We ranked top 3 this week for D-line play, which was, like, crazy. Like, Tyree, Wes, that guy was going. And that's, like, that's not even a starter. So, like, imagine when James, Big O, Omar, like, when those guys get in there and get comfortable and play the amount of stuff they're accustomed to playing. Like, I didn't want to get too infuriated with that ranking I saw when I got out of practice, but I don't believe we're anything less than the top 10 team in the country, and it'll show. Like, time will tell. Like, people will see. But I'm glad the guys are having to work for it, you know, like, having to earn their rights to say that they're a top 10 team in the country, even though, like, I believe it, I see it, and the country will wake up soon. Yeah, it happened.
It seems like everything right now for Coach Hobel's program is trending in the right direction. You know, on the field, obviously Tennessee, like you said, looks faster, looks bigger, really good rotation up front on the defensive line, looks like a true strength moving forward into this 2024 season. And then obviously recruiting is trending up, and that's something that you've been working at behind the scenes for months. Just kind of take me through this real run from June, you know, up until late August here. What's that been like for you being a commit, starting to see a lot of those pieces that you've recruited for so long get in the fold, obviously adding new guys into the group chat as they join in, but just kind of take me through that whole experience for you as you've been a vital part of building that.
Really it's just like the consistency. Like, kids are going to be kids, especially kids that are like-minded. Like, in the football world, like, you don't catch too many kids that are, like, think too highly of themselves. Like, I mean, David is number one offensive tackle in the country. I could pick the phone up right now and FaceTime David here and say we could chop it up about whatever. And just, like, knowing that, like, we're surrounding ourselves with those type of guys, like, everybody can communicate with each other. Like you said, like, we have a group chat where it's, like, we could text at any time. Like, as soon as, like, we see a commitment pop off, even if, like, we already knew about it, we wait. We try not to get too antsy. Even, like, if we hear, like, or, like, a guy texts somebody and be like, oh, I'm coming. Like, we'll wait till it's, like, actually official to add to the group chat. But just knowing that, like, we're already that close and building that type of chemistry before we even get to campus, like, there's been talks already about, like, who's staying and who dorms. So, like, being able to already have those talks with guys, just, like, get comfortable guys that we're obviously going to be going to war with and working with and grinding with every single day. Like, it just shows the type of people that Coach Hypo are recruiting, for one. And then for two, just, like, the effort that we're taking to, like, build this team from the ground up. And, like, it starts with us. Like, we're the next wave coming in. So knowing that in a lot of areas we'll be able to affect the team in a great way. In some places that we're losing a good amount of people, knowing that the coaching staff will rely on us to be able to come in and make an immediate impact. It's been great, you know, like, knowing that what we can do and what we're seeing, and like, we're all on the same page. Like, we actually got excited when LSU lost to USC. We thought we were going to crack the top 10 this week, but they moved us up a spot. But that's cool. Like, I understand. They want to hate on us just because we're finally getting good again. And so we know how it can get, but no, we're excited though. Like, we talk about what games we're going to, like, that Bama game. I think we are going to the Bama game, the Bama and Florida.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Even like with 10-20 with the 26s, but as far as the commits go, like, we still working to flip some guys. Like, I'm not one to hold back. Like, if I feel like you need to be on Rocky Top, like, that's going to be the thing I do when I get the time for it.
For sure. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Trail Tidbits. We covered Joseph Mbatiu, DeJuan Morris, bounce back week from George Magathire, and then now we hear from four-star Innsworth defensive lineman Ethan Utley. Ethan, always appreciate you joining us. Best of luck this week, and, you know, I'm sure we'll hear from you again here soon.
Oh, yeah, I got my first game in Knoxville next week. But we'll take it one week at a time, but I got my first one in Knoxville next week. I'm excited.
Absolutely. He'll be at Knoxville Catholic, where Innsworth will take on Tyreek King and company. So it should be a good ball game. And if you can't come out, support Ethan for that.
Sir.
Hey, that's going to do it here for this week's episode of Trail Tidbits. Matt Ray, I am Eric Kane. Tons and tons of recruiting coverage coming this week, this weekend. Tons and tons of coverage to get you set up for Tennessee and NC State. Big time week two matchup at the Duke's Mayo Classic in Charlotte. And we'll have all that coverage for you right here at VolQuest.com.